Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, sponsored by WinBet. I'm Clay Link here on this deadline afternoon with Todd Zola. Been a pretty crazy couple hours, Todd, and the move's still coming in. Doesn't sound like there's anything crazy that's left unreported, but we'll do what we can to recap things. I don't think we'll get around to everything before the two starters, but we'll get around to a lot. Todd, maybe the biggest story is who didn't get traded. Trevor Story staying put. That just blows my mind.
Yeah, I have. There's been rumors that I'm going to be traded to Fantasy Alarm. That's just not true. It's nothing against Fantasy Alarm, but I've decided to stay.
You used your no trade.
Yeah, I used my no trade clause.
They weren't on your list of pre-approved.
Well, no, I mean, silly joke. Anyway, I used to work there. Everybody knows they're great people. That was the first dumb company that came into my head for the joke. We got a lot to talk about. Zola stopped joking.
Well, yeah, Story didn't get moved. I saw just before we were starting Chris Bryant to the Giants. Pretty interesting. And yeah, a ton to get to. I saw the Nationals and the Dodgers finalize that big blockbuster deal. Scherzer and Trey Turner, the rich just get richer there.
Yeah.
And a pretty good package returning the other way, although what the Blue Jays gave up for Jose Berríos, I thought was quite a bit more, like not maybe more in a vacuum, but I thought they had to pay up more for Berríos than the Dodgers did for the combination of Scherzer and Trey Turner.
Well, a lot of it has to do with Berríos has a year of control.
Yep.
And I tweeted this, and I think that the Blue Jays also see this as an opportunity to sort of convince Berríos to, they have a year to convince him to stay, right? He's going to look at that infield. He's going to look at Hyunjin Ryu with 2 years left, Alek Manoah. And I think what they're going to try to do is extend him. And that this deal looks a lot better if Toronto's able to extend him. And I don't think Berríos is one of the guys, I don't think he's going to break the bank. You know, he doesn't have a Cy Young resume. He's just very good. Just like in fantasy. He's a very good pitcher, but he's not a $35 pitcher. So I don't think he's going to break the bank. And will he go out and try to get the best offer? Maybe. But if the Blue Jays give him a good offer and he likes the environment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I think they got a chance to sign this guy. And then, again, this deal looks a lot better if that's the case.
This has been a crazy afternoon. I just want to shout out our breaking news crew for the excellent job they've done covering things. I've been on that end before. It is just hard to stay afloat, and I realize it's a difficult day, and I just want to give credit to them because they're doing a tremendous job covering the trade deadline at rotowire.com. If you're not a subscriber, you can check us out free for 10 days, rotowire.com.
Yeah, and they're tagging in.
Try.
They're tagging in Jeff and myself tonight to get the teams, all the playing time all fleshed out. So when we rerun the projections for the morning, the rest of season, hopefully that'll all be taken care of.
Just to recap some of these moves, I mentioned Berríos. It was for Austin Martin and Simeon Woods Richardson. So two pretty good prospects for Berríos.
Yeah.
And, the Nats got Kyber Ruiz. I'm sorry, there was something popping up audio-wise that distracted me. Kyber Ruiz, Josiah Gray, and a couple mid-level guys. I like that move for really all sides involved. And yeah. I'm just a little surprised at the price it took to get Berríos. But I thought the Twins did a good job. I think you had to capitalize and send Berríos.
And who's we don't know what went on behind the scenes. It may have taken that much to get Berríos. Somebody else may have been in the running, and we don't know how cool the negotiations are behind the scenes. But maybe the Twins or the Blue Jays had another legitimate offer, and the Twins had another legitimate offer. In order to beat it, they had to do this deal. Parks, et cetera. I've got both of these guys, both of the former Blue Jays, now Twins, on an AL-only farm roster. So I've been kind of following these guys. And the Park, it's similar runs environment. Rogers Center is a little better for homers. I'm not as concerned about the move for Berríos as far as ERA, although the AL East is obviously stronger than the NL Central, AL Central. So that's it's not so much the Park. It's the competition.
The Mets got Javi Baez.
Yeah, how about that?
With Trevor Williams, they gave up Pete Crow Armstrong. So he was like a top pick last year, I think it was, in a prep outfielder, and they gave up pretty quickly. I saw somebody on Twitter mentioning, the Twins or the Mets, rarely in their history have they given up on a prep picks so early. But I guess the chance to get Baez, Trevor Williams, was too good to pass up.
They're seeing how poorly Kelenic's doing. They figure, we can get rid of this guy.
It did seem like a lot more bigger name prospects were on the move this year. Nick Madrigal was sent along with Cody Hoyer. I don't think a prospect eligible player anymore, but for Craig Kimbrel, and I'm wondering, do you think that kills Kimbrel's value? Do you think he's a setup guy now?
They've come out and said, and who knows what will happen, that both guys will end up getting saves down the stretch.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know if it kills. Does it hinder, especially Hendricks? Because in an AL only, the Kimbrel's kind of like found money. Hendricks, you're counting on for more saves. Yeah, I think it hurts. It hurts Kendrick. Kendrick's obviously how many you get?
Hendricks.
Average what, 6 saves a month? So you're expecting around 12. So does that mean each now gets 6, or maybe they get a little more? So maybe they each get 8. I don't know. But it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see who gets the first opportunity. Yeah, that'll be interesting. But speaking of closers, I know we're kind of just jumping around. If you have Ian Kennedy in a mixed league, he went to like the one team where you're pretty sure he's going to keep closing, right? With the Philly,
I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah. So that
Texas getting Spencer Howard, who was a big time prospect.
I like the Park. I like that. I like what Texas is doing the pitching. Let's see what happens there. But yeah, so if Kennedy went like 2 weeks without a save because Texas was scoring like a run and a half a game. Then he got a couple saves, maybe at least one, this week. But with Philadelphia, you'd think in a mixed league anyway, you still have your closer too. Whereas, if he had gone to Boston or somebody else looking for relief help, Kennedy may not have closed. And Sabores, who's going to close in Texas for the 2 games they're going to win the rest of the year, I'm not sure.
Yeah, true. We still got moves coming in after the deadline, as is usual.
Yeah.
With teams kind of just getting them in under the belt, and then they're reported a little after the deadline passes. Jorge Soler to the Braves. Braves also got Adam Duvall. Yeah.
And they also got Eddie Rosario. And they also got Jock Peterson. What are they? They're stocking up DHs, so they're gonna be trading DHs when there's a DH next year. I could care less, except the fact I'm already sweating over their playing time, and now we got to sweat even a little bit more. So,
Casey Kalich apparently was the right-hander headed back to Kansas City in that deal, according to Jeff Passan. So, yeah, they have a weird kind of roster construction there in Atlanta now.
Well, they just they just have a bunch of guys, right? They're playing softball, which is kind of weird because I don't know that they have the pitching to match up to some of these other clubs that have put together just, rock solid top three.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that, Atlanta just had to give up Pablo Sandoval for Rosario. Rosario was just on a 1-year deal, right?
I assume that has to be Pablo Sandoval Jr., right? He has to have a kid, right? I mean, there's no way
bloodline pick.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, that's just
to be some like player to be named later or something.
I don't know. I mean, you know what? I don't usually comment on trades. I don't know the minor leagues well enough. That one, I just don't get, you know?
Yeah, same. I picked up Kyber Ruiz, by the way. I mentioned him earlier. I picked him up in the Stake League last night just because I feel like, well, maybe he's a guy you play some service time games with. He's already been in the bigs, and I figure they turn him loose, especially because they traded Yan Gomes, didn't they?
Do you play service time with a catcher?
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, Gomes went with Josh Harrison to Oakland.
Right. Yeah, I don't know that you're playing service time with a catcher. It seems to me, I mean, you want to get the bullets while you can. You know, there's only so much. I mean, I know guys are still playing at 34, 35, but it wouldn't shock me if we see Ruiz. He was hitting well in the minors, right? Wasn't he hitting pretty well?
Yeah, I mean, he was crushing it. Yeah. He just had Will Smith and Barnes, who the pitching staff likes. So
going back to the Braves, I mean, all these guys, but who's going to play center?
Yeah, that's a good question.
You know, I mean, Abraham Almonte has been, you know, obviously the Pache, but I don't know that I don't know who's going to be. They got all these corner outfielders. Who's going to play center field? Heredia is there now.
Jock Peterson too.
Yeah. So Almonte. So who's going to actually play center? Is going to be the interesting thing there for the Braves. But yeah, some of the other. Anything else trickling in? I know you mentioned Hansel Robles. All my Red Sox fans are saying, you were wrong. They did make a trade. Okay, good. That's Hansel Robles music. That's Hansel Robles music.
Hey, and they got Schwarber. So.
That they did. But
you like, you were saying before we got on that you kind of like that they didn't go too crazy.
Right. I mean, it's better to talk, you know, plenty of time to talk about that sort of thing. But another deal, Jordan Luplow going and DJ Johnson going to Cleveland, going from Cleveland to the Rays. So Luplow's just kind of he's hurt, but he's kind of one of the typical Rays platoon type players. But it does clean up a little bit of the logjam in the Indians outfield. But yeah, no, we'll talk about it. But I think kind of like in fantasy, you go a year too early, you don't win the title, and then you just trash your farm system for years to come. I don't really want to compare, a billion-dollar baseball industry to a, $50 entry fantasy team, but I've done that a few too many times, and I think that's kind of what Chaim Bloom was thinking about. Was he has a plan, and the Red Sox overperforming this season, and I don't think he's going to throw the plan away for a shot, especially with all these super teams. The team we haven't talked about yet, we mentioned it with Kimbrel, but I love what the White Sox have done. Mm-hmm. With Cesar Hernandez, yep, and adding Kimbrel,
that freed them up to trade Madrigal, obviously, and
right. Kimbrel. But I think they're just and they with Lynn and Giolito and Rodon and maybe Kopech, who knows? They're going to have to be on their A game, you know, each and every series, right? But they have the talent, they have the stuff, they have the skills to match up with some of these other top threes / top fours. I think specifically in the NL is where we're thinking we're seeing all these rotations, but I think that, the White Sox offense is fine. I think this is a very interesting, the Yankees spending and Houston making some deals to watch the White Sox go into the World Series. I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah. I mean, I thought TLR maybe would get in the way of that team, but they've been fantastic regardless. And
yeah,
seems like they're going to be there at the end for sure. Now they got that back end with Liam Hendricks and Craig Kimbrel.
Why can't I think of the Fireballer's name? The young kid, not Kopech, the lefty. It'll come to me. No, I'll get it. But anyway, yeah, just to make the bullpen that much better.
And Starling Marte, of course, was dealt a few days ago. Then the Yankees got Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo.
Yep.
Great Italian combo there. Do you like what the Yankees did? Do you think they actually have a chance? Or is this going to be not maybe too little too late, but just too late?
We'll see. Actually, just so I don't get tweeted at, it's Garrett Crochet who was thinking of. And under the radar, Ryan Tepera is having an outstanding season. Mm-hmm. So have the White Sox turned it into a five to six inning game? They very well may have. But anyway, all right. So the last question was.
Oh, just the Yankees. Like, I'm not going to say it's too little because they get two big bats, but I just think it may be too late for them.
It might be, but it's not a team. If they do sneak it, if they do make it into the wild card and win the wild card game, and I'm, you know, who's to say they don't win the division if the Red Sox, you know, did make some moves and Chris Sale is and all that, and Eduardo Rodriguez doesn't turn it around, and Xander Bogaerts' wrist is hurt more than they think it is, and Devers is tweaked a little bit now, you know, and Kyle Schwarber's put at first base and can't field. Who knows? Maybe the Yankees win. It's not a team I think you want to face. Now, Gerrit Cole's last outing, hopefully for Yankees fans, it was just, you know, one of those things, right? And it wasn't a sign of, you know, when Tampa Bay pretty much owned him last time out. After that, the Yankees rotation, maybe Severino comes back, kind of like, will Chris Sale come back? We'll see. But I think they made moves they had to make. And did they crush their system? Sure, they gave up a couple of guys that were legitimate prospects, but I think the Yankees do realize they've got the payroll that they can keep churning these guys, and I think they just saw an opportunity to go for it, and they did.
Yeah, I mean, they're never going to cave. I mean, I guess they did that one year where they traded Chapman, but they very rarely are sellers. And
AL only, folks, if you're in one of those leagues that has a one-game eligibility rule. Guess who played one game at second base? Anthony Rizzo.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
So if you're in one of those quirky one, well, first of all, get a new league. But, you know, that's for next year. Yeah. And a friend of mine actually DM'd me that earlier that, you know, he's all psyched because he gets Rizzo at second base. I'm like, well, because I remembered he tells me he's in a one game league. So anyway.
Mentioned Chris Bryant to the Giants, and I saw you tweeting about how, you know, in-season park factor numbers are noise, but what we know about AT&T Field, Oracle Park now, how it's been playing the past few years, is this kind of a neutral move for Bryant park factor-wise? Do you know?
It's always tough when you consider Wrigley Field. Because Wrigley Field is literally two parks in early in the year and later in the year, it plays really big. I'm sorry, it plays small. It plays small later in the year when it gets warm and humid in Chicago. Early in the year when it's cold and clammy, it plays really small. So it is a downgrade to the current Wrigley Field. I don't know the whole thing with Oracle and the moving of the fences and the portholes and the wind, how it's playing this year. But I think on paper, in a vacuum, so to speak, it is a downgrade. Now, I haven't looked at Chris Bryant too closely this year. He's a guy that I've never liked because he was always helped by Wrigley. I think that his exit velocities have increased this year, but I'm not sure that he's going to be able to take full advantage. You know, I don't know that we can expect a ton of power from Bryant. Maybe I'm still just not on the bandwagon, and I should be at this point because he's proven me wrong, at least to a certain extent. But I am worried about the park.
Well, he's been pretty brutal the past few months, and I don't know how it could get much worse than it's been recently for Chris Bryant. So maybe this trade will rejuvenate him a little bit. By the way, the Braves snuck another trade in at the deadline here. Richard Rodriguez. So they get another arm. I imagine Will Smith still mostly the closer there, but I think this probably frees up David Bednar to be the closer in Pittsburgh. So
the Braves are going, you know, they're going for it, right? They're gonna trust that their young pitching and a couple of veterans, Morton, et cetera, can match up with these other teams. And apparently they're hoping if they can't, they're going to be able to hit the ball out of the park now with some of these acquisitions. So that's going to be interesting. We'll see if Ian Anderson can come back, obviously freed. After that, I mentioned Morton, but you're going to be counting on a Drew Smyly or Kyle Muller or even, you know, Tukey. And, you know, once you start to get into these teams, three, four, and fives, or not maybe not five, but three and fours, the teams that have just made some deals, that's going to be a tough go. You know, especially if you have to use a Max Fried to win a wild card game or Charlie Morton to win a wild card game. And now you have to, I mean, actually, they're not going to get the wild card, are they? They're going to, it's division or nothing for them, right?
I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably yeah. has to be the case. But even I so, give them credit yeah. for not folding it in after losing Acuna. Like, at least they're doing something. My Reds, they beefed up the bullpen a little bit, but man, they didn't. They pretty much sat on their hands.
Well, interesting. You know, we talk about the Red Sox getting Chris Sale back. The Reds have got three quality hitters coming back at some point in the next, you know, whatever, 3 or 4 weeks. So are they considering the return of Senzel and Castellanos and Moustakas their acquisitions? You know,
I don't, it kind of makes sense.
Wouldn't you still like to see somebody to play shortstop? Even yeah, I know that they're going to put Senzel
so
there.
Ridiculous.
Farmer actually has been hit. The worst thing that happened with him is Farmer's been on fire lately, right? Mm-hmm. You know?
I mean, he's a capable shortstop, not a great, you know, everyday player at the major league level, but he hasn't been bad. And yeah, that has kind of complicated things for the Reds. By the way, your Red Sox traded Michael Chavis to Pittsburgh for Austin Davis. So that's kind of interesting. Chavis now probably turned loose, see what he can do. Kind of a maker, maybe not make or break, but I think it's maybe this stretch run will, you know, have a lot to do with Michael Chavis is rolled out early next year, like maybe his future with that organization. I'd imagine they give him a long look over these final 2 months.
Traded away Adam Frazier, so there's openings. Austin Davis, a pitcher, left or right-handed? Lefty, I thought left-handed reliever. So all right, I mean, one of those guys that's been around a little bit, hasn't really had success, and he's capitalizing on 9 innings this season of good pitching. So we'll see what happens.
Freddie Galvis goes from the Orioles to the Phillies in the big blockbuster of the afternoon. Kidding, obviously. Miles Straw for Phil Maton. I kind of like Phil Maton. The Astros bullpen is just scary, too, especially after they added Graveman and several others.
So what is Houston doing now for an outfield without Straw?
Yeah. Maybe they like Chaz McCormick.
Apparently, unless they're going to make a move, or there's someone that's evading my immediate recall. Yeah, I mean, because Straw, I keep increasing his playing time, and keep increasing his playing time, and keep increasing his playing time. Okay, he's going to be the guy. I just it has to be McCormick unless they're going to make another move. At least unless they trust somebody else. I you know, Brantley can't play center.
Well, Pedro Leon was working out in center. He's like a shortstop initially in his young career, but then now he's expected to miss 6 weeks with a fractured left pinky finger, Pedro Leon. So he was an option to replace Straw.
Yeah, he was on James Anderson's double arrow up on the new dynasty rankings, wasn't he?
Yeah, I believe so, or prospect list or something.
Right, but, right.
Yeah, so the Astros got Graveman, Yimi Garcia, Phil Maton. Man, they're pretty nasty. I think they're probably the team to beat in the American League. I
still think the White Sox aren't going anywhere.
So would you give that title to the White Sox?
You know what? Until I find out who's playing center field with Houston, and again, they're counting on some young pitching as well. You know,
yeah.
So I think it'll be a wonderful series, and it can go either way. But you know, and I still don't think you can count out whoever comes out of the East. With, you know, I think it's weird. The National League seems to have, you know, stronger pitching with what, you know, Milwaukee, what they're doing, or what they didn't, you know, they don't have to do what they've got, right? And I think we haven't talked a lot about Milwaukee. I think they too feel that, I don't want to say found money, but they're maybe a little ahead of where they thought they'd be, and the pitching is a little better than they thought it'd be. I don't know what they could give up to improve a whole ton, but they've kind of already made their moves.
Yeah, we got more to get to before we move on to two-star pitchers. But first, let's throw to a quick word from our sponsors.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Now we are back on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Clay Link here with Todd Zola. Our pod is sponsored by WinBet, and we'll have more from them shortly in the show. But Todd, other moves, Jay Happ to the Cardinals. Not a trade note, but Corey Seager's back in action today. I wonder, you know, with Trey Turner getting there, do you think, I don't know, maybe it's Trey at second a little bit? Maybe Corey.
That's what they said. Yeah, that's what it's going to be.
Okay.
Was Trey Turner at second? And obviously goes to short next year, you know.
Yeah.
But what it means is your guy
is a free agent.
Your guy, you know, one of your favorites, you know, someone I have in XFL, Gavin Lux.
Yeah, Gavin Lux.
He's he's out of a job for a year, huh? Or for half a year.
Yeah, he's been really rocky, and you hate to see that. Other moves here, I mean, nothing else that I've seen come in at the after the bell, but some other moves. Daniel Norris to the Milwaukee Brewers. I remember when he was pretty good, pretty big time prospect for a little while. Obviously, that shine's worn off, but lefty, you can help.
Well, injury, and now
he
got hurt, and now he's just trying to carve a niche out of the bullpen, and he's doing all right. Actually, he's been used a lot too as a primary pitcher and or opener. So we'll see what use he has or what role he has.
Brewers also got Eduardo Escobar from Arizona. And then there were a few others that I wanted to ask you about. Well, Diego Castillo to Seattle, not a huge move, but how do you see the save shaking out? Do you think it's Diego Castillo? Do you think it's Paul Sewald?
Yeah, not sure. And, I wrote for my ESPN Daily Notes, go out and pick up Sewald. And the next, that's posted the day before. So that night they picked up Castillo. So I actually forgot to change the note this morning, but in all the excitement. But yeah, so it's kind of interesting or curious what's going to go on there. I think don't they have the Mariners? Don't they have a closer hurt? Like I'm talking for long term.
Oh yeah, Giles, right? Yeah, Giles.
Yeah. So. I thought there was actually a second guy as well, but
Andres Munoz.
Yeah, maybe I should unthink that. yeah, maybe that's
well,
maybe
Middleton
we
too. Keenan Middleton.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't. Well, he's not. He wasn't with thinking of. I was thinking of Munoz, but yeah, let's unthink that. It's Ken Giles, you know. But anyway, so but this year I think that it's a timeshare, probably, and I don't know that either guy gets the bulk. I think Seattle is going to make a play for the wild card. We'll see what happens as far as all that goes. I'm kind of curious what they're going to do with some of their pitching as we get closer to as the season wears on with innings. Well, Gonzalez was injured, so I don't think we have to worry too much about that. But will they temper Gilbert's innings? Will they temper Kikuchi's innings? I think you just let Tyler Anderson go, right? You don't. He's like a rental car. Nothing beats like a rental. Not too concerned there.
Yeah, I just, when they traded Graveman, I saw a quote from Jerry DePoto saying, this move may not make sense in a vacuum, but it's kind of a precursor to other moves. You just have to wait and see. I think when everything else happens, you know, the bigger picture will come into focus. Right. But I don't really see it. I mean, I guess you do get Abraham Toro, who I kind of like. But I don't see, you know, I think Kendall Graveman, Diego Castillo is a pretty lateral move, and they didn't really add much else. I mean, yeah, Tyler Anderson.
No, exactly. I think that if Graveman wasn't so loved by the team and the fans, I don't think it would have been as big of an uproar, but he just, I guess he's a good clubhouse guy, a popular player, both in, you know, internally and externally. If it was just somebody else, you know, and I think, you know, I think DePoto also made a little, came on too hard with the, wait, we're not done. I think if he, you know, if he had calmed that down a bit and said, take it easy, we're still going to compete, maybe it wouldn't have made that much, because now people are waiting. What's he going to do? Not that Castillo's bad, but, you know, Tampa, I mean, they trade away good players and they just get good players back. It's just bizarre what Tampa does.
Yeah, it's like the second or, the, you know, the few months before the guy becomes ARB eligible, they trade him and somehow get pre-ARB guys who are, like, just
yeah.
as good.
It's just amazing. And, I mean, Anderson's coming back soon. We'll see what form of Nick Anderson comes back, right? But at this point, Fairbanks is probably, well, actually all their top three air quote closers are on the IL with Fairbanks, Feierheisen, and Anderson. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know they picked up J.T. Schwarber and all these deals, but they always make it work, right? But, you know,
Matt Whistler, but I have no idea who it's going to be there now. You're right.
Kittredge, Chargois, Springs. I think it's just going to mix and match. They're going to have Archer's coming off the IL soon enough. Patino, that was kind of nice to see.
Awesome
for a,
yesterday.
Yeah, for fantasy purposes, not and Tampa Bay Ray purposes, Patino not just pitching well, but giving length.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Going six and getting 8Ks, I think.
Yeah.
I got him in Tout head-to-head last week for a $0 ad, and I'm just like, that could honestly, like, save my season, Luis Patino. I'm holding on to a playoff spot by a hair. So, you love getting guys like Varsho and Luis Patino with zero in a 12-team league.
Especially in your league. In your situation in a head-to-head where you're required to use that player.
Yep.
So it could cost you a week by having a zero.
Yeah,
I don't know if it did. You know,
I took a zero earlier this year on Manoah, and that hurt that week, obviously.
But you're right. But if you strengthen your team to still make the playoffs and just have a really good team in the stretch, but that's a huge decision. I mean, in a rotisserie, it matters as well, but a little bit less, just because
you can put them on your bench.
You know, right. Well, I mean, you still have to play them, so you get a zero for a week. That's, you know, maybe it doesn't hurt your cumulative stats a ton. You know, especially like the, you know, a starting pitcher. But yeah. So anyway.
A couple others real quick. Brad Hand with him moving. It looks like in Washington, maybe Kyle Finnegan. I think he got a save last night, right? Kyle Finnegan. So maybe a little Tanner Rainey, but it looks like Kyle Finnegan.
I think, wasn't Rainey just reactivated or brought off the IL again?
He just
returned. So I think we may see Finnegan early, and I think Washington may give Rainey a look-see down the stretch.
Yeah, I could see that. There was another bullpen situation I wanted to ask you about, but I'm blanking on it right now. I guess in Miami it's probably Anthony Bender now that Yimmy's no longer there.
And we've been talking about Bender. You know, we've been talking about Bender for a little while, and we like him. We liked him just as someone to get because he's a good pitcher, and now maybe we get some saves out of Anthony Bender. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, other players who, you know, maybe come into some more time. Brent Rooker, he was picked up in the RotoWire Stake League. I could see that.
Yep.
Corey Dickerson, I think he's on the IL, but now in Toronto. Do you think he's going to be a factor out there? He's beginning a rehab assignment or began one Wednesday.
Yeah, again, you know, keeping playing time. I carry excess playing time. I try to tighten it up at this time of year because playing time matters. You know, at least in relative to, you know, people trying to make decisions, it's a lot more important now to have it matter. A lot of times it takes care of itself just because the team releases a guy, makes a trade, you know, and you don't have to worry about it. But yeah, it's I mean, Teoscar Hernandez certainly does not deserve to lose playing time. Obviously, Springer. So, and, you know, Grichuk and, you know, Gurriel. And the thing with Dickerson is, even though he's a lefty, in the past he's hit lefties well. And his defense has been inconsistent. He was kind of poor, but he made himself into a good outfielder, and that's kind of fallen back a little bit. But I think they'll find him some playing time. I'm not sure at whose expense right now, but I think, you know, Springer's playing if he's healthy, and I think Teoscar deserves to play if he's healthy. So I guess that leaves right field and DH.
Well, before we move on to two star pitchers for next week, we still are going to do that. The other side of the Kimbrel trade that we didn't talk about was who closes for the Cubs, and that was, I mean, I guess you maybe threw out a name or two, but do you have a preference if you're making a pickup, Rex Brothers?
Actually, I didn't, because we mentioned Tapera was traded, you know, so.
Oh, yeah. Dan Winkler, Rex Brothers, or maybe Rowan Wick? Is he coming back?
Yeah, somebody, was it Brad Wyck that is, like, not, you know, extended as the IL stint or something? Put in the, yeah, I have to remember all the different They've got a lot of similar names.
Yeah.
out there. Brad, yeah.
White,
so
was transferred to the 60-day.
Yeah. Recently. Okay. And isn't, yeah, Wick's on the 60, but isn't Wick maybe close to coming back?
Yeah, he's at AAA now with his rehab. So
yeah.
He was
so
kind of closer in waiting, at least perceived to be in prior years.
Yeah. So you know, lefty righty there with Winkler and Brothers. I think it's a matchup. I don't think it's, you know, I know Aaron only matters, but neither of these guys excite me horribly to, you know, I'd probably go Winkler, but I'd like to, it's getting late in the season to try to find saves elsewhere. What's Winkler? Is Winkler getting the holds? Where was he in the hierarchy? Six holds and one blown save, I guess. And I think Brothers, I know Brothers was used under higher leverage scenarios. So I think you flip a coin.
Yeah, Brothers, did he close in, like, Colorado many years ago?
That, yeah.
Got hurt and was gone for a long time.
Yeah, as we know, the shelf life of a Colorado closer is very, very small. Eight holds, one save. So it looks like they're both being used in leverage scenarios. Brothers is pitching really well late. Well, no, I got to keep clicking up. Multiple runs in three of his last four efforts. So maybe he's not pitching so well lately.
Cody Hoyer, who they got in that Kimbrel deal, I kind of like. He hasn't been great this year, but he's still only 24 and had a really good run last year. So he'll be a guy to keep an eye on long term there.
Guy that, you know, can throw the ball through a brick wall, but he just has to hit that brick wall.
Very true. That team's gonna, I mean, it's kind of unrecognizable now. You look at that depth chart.
Same with Washington, huh?
Yeah, man. I'm actually just kind of confirmed a trip to go see my brother in Washington, and we're going to go to a Nats game in September, and that team will be completely it's like a quad A, but then you add Soto, and that he alone makes it.
I just realized something, Clay. Mm. This just struck me. You mentioned Soler's being traded?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Come on, think. Think.
Atlanta has – oh.
Nope. Think on Kansas City. Edward Olivares.
Ooh, yeah.
Edward Olivares will return. Woo!
Back on that train. I'm still waiting on Bobby Witt in a couple leagues. Like an idiot. I'm stubborn.
I'm crying. Yeah, I mean, Alcides Escobar is going to be – he's going to stay his job because, I mean, it's kind of minor news compared to what else is going on, but the Nationals announced that Starlin Castro will be released once his one-month suspension runs out.
Yeah.
The other kind of news related to all this is and we had it on the site – is Andrés Giménez – if people are waiting for his call up, you got to wait a little while because he's going through some citizenship stuff and can't travel to Toronto. And Cleveland's got an upcoming series in Toronto. So they're still the Indians until the end of the year. The Indians are waiting on calling up Giménez until they're clear of the Toronto series.
You know, James had been stashing Andrés Giménez on our main team, and I dropped him for Vidal Brujan, so I apologize to James for that.
Ooh, are you guys still talking?
Yeah. I mean, we're actually doing pretty well because, like, Abraham Toro and I forget who else we picked up. It's just been a huge surprise.
Toro, I mean, four homers in a row. What's going on, you know?
It's fantastic. But, yeah, we're inside the top 100.
Nice.
In the overall, and we're just – yeah, I do kind of feel bad because I do like Giménez as a you know, final 2 months.
Oh, he's been crushing it.
Yeah.
He's been crushing it with, and I made a mistake on the notes. I had a brain cramp. I said Toledo. No, it's no longer with Toledo. It's Columbus is there, the Indians farm. Toledo's with Detroit. But in my, you know, I'm so old. I remember when the Toledo Mud Hens, and it probably has to do with Jamie Farr and in MASH, that old connection. But yeah, I made a mistake in the ESPN notes. Was called out for it, rightfully so, saying that somebody Jimenez has been playing. Well, yeah, someone saying that Jimenez has been hitting well for Toledo. Well, no, he hasn't. He's been hitting well for Columbus.
Columbus. Well, a lot of affiliates jump around. That's an easy mistake.
Well, no, I just made a mistake. It's all, you know, it's just good.
A minor one, but of course somebody will call you. Raisel Iglesias, there were some rumors that he would be moved, but it looks like he's staying put there in Anaheim. And mentioned that maybe the biggest story is the guy who didn't get moved. The Rockies will be able to tender him a qualifying offer, Trevor Story, and they'll get a comp pick back when he signs elsewhere. But whoever you get for the comp pick, that's better than, I mean, when you look at the other prospects moved, Austin Martin, you know, Kyber Ruiz, they couldn't have gotten a better, they couldn't have had a better option than just getting that comp pick.
At the end of each year, the Tout Wars board reviews each league and checks out, are people making moves? Are they making fab moves? Are they changing their roster? And occasionally there's someone who didn't, and we'll send them a little note, you know, what's going on? Do you, you know, and I think someone should send Colorado a note. You know,
what's, it's like they just abandoned their team.
You know, I mean, we'll give you, you know, we don't want to kick you out. We want to hear why, but man, you got to do some, you got to make some moves. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so.
Well, we'll move on to two-star pitcher grades for next week, the week of August 2nd. We'll talk more about the deadline tomorrow. You and I, Todd, on MLB Network Radio. Hopefully you can join us there as we continue with more deadline talk. But real quick, before we move on to two-star pitchers, a quick word from our friends at WinBet. If there's one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire, it's making good decisions, and even more so, making the right decision. Listen up, folks. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WinBet, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WinBet is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. WinBet brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? Head to WinBet's digital casino and take a spin on roulette. Double down in blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at Baccarat. WinBet is currently available in 6 states, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. While rapidly expanding at WinBet, the possibilities are limitless. WinBet is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WinBet now. That's WYNNBET. WinBet, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. So two-star pitcher grades for next week. Todd, we'll start, since we're running a little long here on trade talk. Taylor Widener, Madison Bumgarner versus San Francisco at San Diego. Haven't really given either of these guys much mind this year, but I'll give Bumgarner a 1, a courtesy 1 for his legacy. And Widener, I'm going to give a 0.
I think actually Widener may actually have a better shot, but for full disclosure, I have not even opened my spreadsheet. I've been doing some other stuff, so these are totally off the cuff. And while you were doing that wonderful read, nice job. Took a quick look, and we won't have to talk about these guys for very long. There's not a whole lot of good starters this week. All right, with that, all right, I'm going to go 1 each. I'm going to give a 1 and a 1.
Okay, I'll get you down for a 1 on Widener. Has he been? Maybe I just haven't really
looked at it. It's more of both are good offenses, good parks, but in my mind,
he's
not completing.
I mean, he hasn't been
horrible. He had fairly recently, he had a good start. So in my thick skull, you know what? He's been terrible lately. You know what? I'm going to redo that and say 0. I must be confusing him. Yeah, he's given it five runs in each of the past 2 games, 3 and a third. 3 and 2/3, 4 and 2/3. Only has not gone 5 innings since April 22nd. Yeah, I'm going to take that back.
I feel like the Diamondbacks have like seven Taylor Widners on their team. They're all like interchangeable.
It may have been that I watched the first inning of a game and he went 1-2-3, and then I turned it off. Maybe it was against Pittsburgh.
What I see with my own two eyes sticks in my head.
Maybe it was against Pittsburgh. Anyway, yeah. But Bumgarner, I'll go 0-1 like you.
Okay. Now, you mentioned Max Fried will have a lot of pressure on him if the Braves get to the postseason. That if will ride heavily on his arm in the meantime, too. So a lot on him at St. Louis versus Washington next week. I was a big Fried believer after this last year. It's been a disappointing year, but I'll still give him a 3.
Going to give him a 3 as well. I'm looking at his innings. 90 innings, pitched 56 last year. He's 27, so he's not a kid, right? So he can, you know, you'd think he could handle, you know, without slowing down too much. But, right, it's just going to be the burden just to get into the playoffs, let alone once they're there. But I like these as a 3.
Always want to throw out the caveat that these are tentative, and we will have...
You know what? Relative to the field, because I cheated and looked ahead, considering they're playing St. Louis and Washington, I'm going to go 4. Because I think relative to the field, Fried's going to end up in the top 40.
Okay, I got you a 4 on Max Fried. Now, Jorge Lopez at the Yankees versus Tampa Bay.
He will not end up in the top 40.
I'd be kind of surprised. I'm a little surprised they're even. I know they have nothing to play for and they're just evaluating, but even so, I'd be a little surprised he's still in that rotation. Garrett
and
Richards.
He's one of their better pitchers. Yeah. So he's a 0. Sorry. So Garrett Richards.
No, that's true. At Detroit, Toronto, ERA over 5. Team has been pretty darn good, a lot better than I expected. But I think Garrett Richards, probably a 2.
Yeah, and I don't. Sale won't be coming back just yet, so he will likely get that second start, right?
Yeah, I'd imagine so. That one's pretty scary.
Yeah, and they already got Tanner Houck in the doubleheader coming back. Yeah, I forget what you said, but I'm going to say 2 or 3. They're both away 2. I can't go 3. I just can't go 3.
And Zach Davies, I mean, this first one's at Colorado, so I think, and then the second one's versus the White Sox, so.
Yeah, it's a 0.
Hard to see starting Zach Davies, yeah.
That's a 0.
0 as well. Tyler Mahle for the Reds versus Minnesota versus Pitt. A little bit of a give back, you know, recently for Mahle, but I still like him quite a bit. I actually, relative to the field, I'm going to give him a 5.
I'm going to give him a 4. Okay. A couple of tough, I mean, they're not tough matchups, but yeah, I'm going to give him a 4.
Yeah, that's probably the more reasonable grade there. Zach Plesac at Toronto. Versus Detroit, Sam Henches is a 0, but when it comes to Plesac, you know, he's been pretty darn good since coming back, so I'm going to give him a 4.
Has he been good?
I guess I have it in my head that he's been okay.
I mean, he hasn't been terrible. He's not striking anybody out.
He got a win over the Cardinals.
He's given up homers. I think he's been okay. I'm going to go with a 2.
Too.
Yeah, no. Looking at offhand, I mean, he's not walking anybody, but he's not fanning anybody either. We can't get So let's see. Well, the 8th was right before the break, so just in July, 4.57, 1.29, but he's got 5.8 Ks per 9 and 2 home runs per 9. So I mean, the xFIP may bring it down because of the home runs, but I'm sure his FIP is terrible. But he's got 2 wins, so I mean, he's actually won his. I mean, not 5 straight games, but his last 5 decisions, he's won. So he's kind of like the anti-Tyler McGill, who's inheriting Jacob DeGrom's lack of run support.
Yeah, he's been great, but just can't get any help. Plesac, I mean, he's got a 110 whip. I still am a believer, even though he's kind of boneheaded. So that's one of the rare ones where you have a 2-point gap. I got a 4, Todd at 2 on Zach Plesac.
Right, okay.
Kyle Freeland's going to be a 0, both home starts. So yep. Let me get that logged in the sheet.
Yeah.
Kyle Freeland, a 0. Exciting stuff. Lucas Giolito versus Kansas City at the Cubs. That'll be a fun crosstown matchup this weekend after they just dealt with each other. Lucas Giolito's a 5.
It's a 5.
He's finally come back pretty strong. So.
I think there's going to be somebody later who will be ranked higher, but right now he's a top-ranked player.
Okay. Now, for the Detroit Tigers, it is Willie Peralta He hasn't been terrible, but he gets Boston, then at Cleveland. Maybe I'll give him a one. Are you going to go higher? Am I disrespecting?
I'm not going to go higher. Peralta? I need to look at Willie Peralta. I have a trade on the table in a league where I have a choice between Willie Peralta and Matt Manning, and I can choose one or the other. So I'll be doing a little research. I'd ask you to make the decision for me, but I think you're in the league with me. So now you're gonna be able to figure out, you know, who I'm trading with.
If we're talking long term, that'd be Manning.
Nah, it's Ian. It's Mr. Ian Khan, and we're working with potentially a deal where it's a deal that we're gonna have to wait till the deadline was over to see where we both stand. I might be breaking my rule. He's running away with AL labor, so I won't feel as guilty trading with him because I can say he's going to win anyway, and it's going to help me a lot to do this particular deal. So I'm not going to feel guilty about the teams chasing him. That, you know, if you didn't do that deal, Ian would have won. I think Ian could fail to do a roster move the rest of the year and still win.
Yeah, he's up like 30 points on the pack, isn't he?
Yeah.
30 standings points, that is. So, yeah. He's been killing us.
Anyway, so everybody in the league. I'm going to give Peralta – oh, boy. He's not even going innings. I'm going to give him a zero because he's not even going five innings.
All right, I had a one, but I'll get you down for a zero.
Yeah, okay.
Willie Peralta. Next up, we got Lance McCullers at the Dodgers. Pretty tough, but then versus Min. I got him as a four, but maybe he should be a five.
I was going to say maybe he should be a three, but really? I'm going to go with a four.
Okay, I mean, he's 8-2. He's been...
You're right. You know what? He's been giving length lately. Mm-hmm. Why do you use spreadsheets? Because I can't remember things. I may get too attached to my spreadsheets. That's weird.
At this time of the year, everything just – there's so much going on. Everything just kind of – I don't remember if something I heard or saw was real, if I just dreamed it.
Yeah. My joke is if I didn't have a pill box to take meds, I wouldn't know what day it was. So, right, anyway.
So did you say four?
I'm going to go four. I'm going to keep it a four, but it wouldn't shock me if it sneaked. You know what? Look at those strikeouts. 8-8, 10-8, 8. You talked me into it, five.
Oh, wow. Okay. I had a four, but I'll give you five. Yeah, I was a skeptic just on his ability to hold up, but, you know, he's been fantastic. So I think
on a start by start basis at this point, if he's healthy, you got to figure you're getting the stud. McCullers, he's not giving up homers. His walk rate isn't great, but no, he's fine.
It's been a roller coaster this year with Chris Bubich. I dropped him, and then, of course, he goes off last three starts. Six innings in all three, so 18 total innings, 12-6 K to walk, 2 ERA, 106 WHIP. You buying into this recent run, would you consider starting Bubich at the White Sox at St. Louis? I'll probably give him a two, but
I don't like the strikeouts. You know, he's getting away. He's only given up two homers the past. One homer, talking about the three starts you're talking about, since the break. You know, since the break, he's 2.0 ERA, but six strikeouts per nine, three walks per nine, which is average, but only a homer. So what were the matchups again? I could look myself. The matchups were
White Sox
and St. Louis. So I like one, don't like the other. I'm going to go with a one.
Okay, yeah, I should probably go one as well. But for some reason, I just... Well, he had that one minor league season where he was just fantastic. Then he came up last year and was kind of, you know, that's a tough assignment.
If the strikeouts were higher, I'd be more confident.
Jose Suarez for the Angels, very tentative here, at Texas, at the Dodgers. Hasn't been bad, but I mean, I can't give him more than like a two.
Yeah, at the Dodgers is scary. I'm not even – I liked him. He came out firing and then he's kind of
I'm gonna go one a little bit. Changing it.
Yeah. Again, not a lot of strikeouts. I'm gonna go with a one.
Dodgers got two off days next week, so they do not have a two start starter. For Miami, they've been stripped down, so we're looking at maybe Jordan Holloway and Braxton Garrett. Ugh. I don't know, man. I can't really Braxton Garrett, you know, he had a one decent outing, but I can't see.
Well, at Colorado, we don't have to stalk any further.
Oh, yeah, at Colorado's the second one. Good call.
So a couple of goose eggs.
Jordan Holloway, goose egg. Let me get this in the sheet. We'll recap these, of course, after the show. So, just clicking around here. Braxton Garrett was the other one. Zero. As we wrap up things here, we got, looks like, well, the Brewers, six men, they got an off day, so nobody for them. Maeda stayed put, didn't he?
The only question with the Brewers is this going to be one of Council's piggyback week, but Peralta to potentially give Lauer a second? I don't think it's going to happen, right? I mean, they're kind of unannounced. He's piggybacking Peralta and one of the other starters to temper innings. I don't see it happening here, though.
Kenta Maeda, since he did stay put, it looks like he'll be at the Reds and then at Houston. Pretty tough. I have him in a few leagues, and I'm probably going to just throw him out there because
He hasn't been doing what we wanted, but in July, and I, you know, he had the break, 2.15 ERA, 0.82 whip, 11 Ks per nine. I mean, he's crushed July, if you want to be honest.
Yeah.
At least one win. 11 K per nine, 1.8. So a well over, you know, almost a well over a 5 K to walk ratio, 0.6 home run per nine. So he's actually done really, really, really well. Now, he's faced Detroit three times. People may laugh. Guess who scored the most runs in July?
Was it the Tigers?
Detroit.
Wow.
So, yeah. So
I remember they had that one crazy game where they like got out homer like 6-0. Yeah. And
so if Maeda hadn't pitched so well against the Tigers, they'd just be through the roof this month. But, yeah, so I think Maeda – I don't think he's as the Maeda that we expected at the beginning – but even though the matchups aren't that favorable, I think we can go. I'm going to go 4.
Okay, I had a 3, but I get you down as a 4 for my 8. Okay. He stayed put. Michael Pineda also stayed put for that team, but with Jay Happ getting traded, they brought up Griffin Jacks.
Looks like they potentially will insert John Gant right into the rotation.
Yeah, that's a possibility. Jacks,
Was that a salary dump? That had to be a salary dump.
Yeah, I think so. But Pineda's still there. I dropped him in a bunch of leagues, but
yeah,
maybe I'll consider picking him back up. Tyler McGill mentioned he's getting that lack of run support. One win despite a 2.04 ERA, but you know, with him the rest of the season and even for next year, I think I might be in on the Tyler McGill train. I mean, at Miami this week, then at Philadelphia, pretty good. I think I might give him a 4.
Yeah, I mean, I've mentioned strikeouts several times, 39 and 35 and a third. And kind of his heritage is, his pedigree, you know, always more than a strikeout in an inning. And granted, it was only in the minors this year. But, he's someone that's definitely intriguing. Best park in the majors to pitch in.
And I'm also going to give Taiwan Walker a 4, but would you consider going 5 on Walker or 4?
Walker's coming off of he's pitched once since he got blown up, right? And it was kind of a nice little rebound there. I will give him a 4. Actually, no. He started out well against Washington and then got hit late. He gave up he's given up 11 runs his last two starts over 9 innings, and that's following the one where he got lit up. So he's not pitching well lately. 5 homers the past 2 games. I'm going to go with a 3.
You're going 3 on Taiwan?
Yeah. Okay. Pitching streaks are unpredictable, but pitchers tend to be more streaky. It's just and I know they have to break. You know, at some point, a good pitcher pitching good has to pitch bad and badly. And vice versa, but I'm more apt. I factor in recent performances into the pitching rankings more than I factor in hitting streaks when I pick hitters.
We have Nestor Cortez in there for the Yankees. He did go 5 in his most recent outing, and versus Baltimore versus Seattle is kind of nice. I have a hard time trusting that he'll be, you know, go deep enough to qualify in either of these, but I'll still give him a 1, and then Gerrit Cole a 5.
Yeah, we're going to assume that the game against Tampa was just a blip, and we're not going to talk spin rate or any of that stuff. It's just one of those things that happens. You're talking about Cortez, you know, lengthwise. He did go five last time. Look, he was pretty pitch efficient. I'm going to go I'm going to go two because I want to justify saying he's the only guy right now that I'd even consider picking up if he was available on waivers. I mean, of the people that would probably be on waivers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't, you know, of course I'll pick up Gerrit Cole if he's on waivers. Duh. I'm saying a pitcher that could conceivably be on a 12 or 15 team free agent list. If I needed a two-start week, I would consider picking up Cortez.
Yeah, it sounds like Cortez will be on some of your lists this weekend. Probably some of mine as well. Now, for Oakland, they only have five games, so no two-steppers for them.
Yeah.
For the Phillies, Matt Moore, Zach Wheeler. Wheeler's a every week five, pretty much. And maybe
he's the
top five pitcher.
Yeah, he's the one that I think is probably ahead of, I forget who it was we had number one before, but he could be the, Giolito. I think he'll nose out, especially with Washington. I think he'll nose out Giolito for the top spot this week.
And Matt Moore, you wouldn't give any consideration to, I
guess. No.
Max Kranick's been pretty terrible, so I'll give him a zero. But Chad Kuhl, two tough road starts, though. And
yeah.
I don't know. I guess I have in my head that Chad Kuhl's not that bad from a few years ago, but I still don't think I'd really consider much. I'll give him a one to be nice, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think, if you're kind of forced, and he's been pitched okay the past couple starts, 13 strikeouts, two walks in his last 10 and two thirds. So I can go with a one. I could buy off on a one.
No starters for the Padres next week, but man, Blake Snell, who's starting the first game of the week, projected. It's just been such a rough run for him. Seven earned runs, his most recent outing.
And you know what? Same with Paddock.
Yeah. But Snell's got 3-7 spots allowed since May 30th. So,
and the interesting thing, and this
blow ups.
This was talked about a lot on Twitter because, as you see now, when pitchers get blown up, someone in the NFBC will say, well, he was started by 32% of New York. He has done, you know, people are like, you know, literally, you know, laughing at Snell being started when he's been pitching so poorly, but he's been crushing it at home. So one can make the argument that he was at home against Oakland, therefore you should start him. But the counter argument is such a small sample. Even with that bad start against Oakland, he's 2.81 ERA at home and 8.02 on the road. So, you know, the argument is, you know, you should start him at home. Well, that's kind of not the real argument, because the home and away isn't as much of a factor as the fact that he's stunk lately.
Yeah, true. Now, for Yusei Kikuchi, he took a loss against Houston. I wonder what his numbers would look like, and I kind of hate when people do that, but without the Houston starts, what his numbers would look like.
Oh, yeah. I do it all the time on ESPN just to try to sell a starter. There's always somebody.
It's not a terrible analysis. It's just like, you know, if you did – it's just cherry-picking, obviously.
Right. Well, you make the point. You know, I mean, obviously these numbers count. However, note this. Now, he also had seven runs against Colorado and seven runs at Houston. So it may just be that Kikuchi is one of those guys where he's just a real matchup guy. He will crush lesser teams, but is risky against better teams. Whereas, you know, the true aces, you don't care who they're starting against.
Yeah, that's true. He's not quite in that mix, but he's been pretty darn good overall.
At Tampa, at New York, a couple of good teams, though, here. So
yeah. I'm only going three. Are you
going I'm going to three as well.
Would you give Flexen? I mean, Flexen's got nine wins, 3.81 ERA.
I'll give it two.
Tampa, at New York, two. Okay, yeah, that sounds
good. He's striking batters out, and there's strikeouts to be had in Yankees. There's also home runs. But there's strikeouts to be had, his strikeouts have fallen off, Flexen. But I'll stick with the number. Yeah.
The Giants and their pretty much all former Reds rotation here: Anthony DeSclafani, Johnny Cueto at Arizona, at Milwaukee. At Arizona is like a prime, just such a juicy matchup now.
They've been hitting better lately, but you're right.
That team's terrible. But yeah,
well, they couldn't hit worse. The way they were hitting, they couldn't have been any worse.
Yeah.
But that's going to be a five for me.
Didn't they lose like 20-some road games in a row?
Yeah. I mean, Texas is the team right now. Texas is the team not scoring currently. But, I'm going to go five on DeSclafani. I know Milwaukee's a tough matchup, but he's pitching pretty well. And I know he's better at home, but it's going to be a low-end five. He'll be ranked like 18th or 19th overall. But I think with the two starts, you can't ignore it. Yeah, and Cueto,
I'm giving a three. What say you?
Yeah, I'll give him a three. Man, he's starting to get really funky with the Louis Tiant-like deliveries. Yeah, he's just starting to play games now.
Delay, I love it. Guy's just cool as hell. St. Louis, no two starters projected for them. We'll see. I guess with Hap coming in, they'll slot in probably next week. Michael Wacha versus Seattle.
I have a question. Did I miss? Yeah. I must have missed John Lester getting traded to St. Louis. Was that one of the more recent deals?
I guess that was today. Yeah, for Lane Thomas.
So. Okay. All right. Well. Okay. I wonder if they'll keep LeBlanc Andrew Woodford in the rotation.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, so they'll be slotting in Hap and Lester, I guess, next week. But for Tampa Bay, I mentioned Patino. He's not a two-start starter, but if you can go get him, if he's still out there, I'd recommend doing that.
Or if he's been on your bench, it's time to let him loose.
Throw him in the lineup, yeah.
Yep.
But for Wacha, hasn't been pretty, but I kind of like these matchups. I might give Wacha a two.
Yep, I agree.
Nice. So as we wrap things up here, Dane Dunning, Jordan Lyles versus the Angels at Oakland. I guess maybe Dunning a two, but I guess I just have a mental block when it comes to pitchers on this team. It's just,
and I need to get over that. I think I do as well. I have to, it's a good park to pitch in.
Yeah,
I really like Dane Dunning. I really like the fact that Texas acquired Spencer Howard. I like Howard in that ballpark if he can get over the hell. And I like Allard. So I think Texas is quietly building up some pitching, but the fact they still have to use Foltynewicz is a problem. But as far as these guys go, Dunning is such a risk. High risk, high reward. He's going to get a two for me. Lyles, I'm going to go one, but I don't like it.
Yeah, he's, even with that park playing more favorably for pitchers, he's been pretty rough this year. Robbie Ray's, with those tight pants, he's just been killing it still. Him and Steven Matz, they're versus Cleveland, then versus Boston. Robbie Ray, I guess I'll give a four, just because I could see some regression still coming.
He cruised through the Red Sox in a doubleheader a couple days ago. Went to six and... Red Sox won the night game. Ray will be a five. Matz is going to be a two.
Yeah, I'd say so too. Okay, so got you down as a five for Robbie Ray, two on Matz. Finally, for the stripped down Washington Nationals, looks like maybe Jeffrey Rodriguez, Patrick Corbin. A little surprised they kept Corbin. Maybe they just didn't have anybody biting on him. Versus Philly. At Atlanta, I think.
Yeah, it's Paolo Espino, right? Zero. Unless they change it. It's Espino for the first one, right?
We have Jeffrey Rodriguez.
Oh, you know what? I have an older version, so it must have been revamped since I called it up. Yeah, so Rodriguez and Corbin. Philly and – I'm going to go zero on Rodriguez. I'm going to go one, but – I don't have to worry about it because I don't have him anywhere, but I'd be nervous even with a one, but probably shouldn't be because he's probably going to have one decent outing of the two. You know what? He's not striking anybody out lately. I think a zero is justified. I'm going to go zero.
Zero on Corbin.
I mean, he has fanned in July. He's got five starts. He's fanned 14 and 26 and a third, not even five per nine.
Yeah, that's not what you want.
Not
well.
Good.
To recap, two starters for the week of August 2nd, 2021. Good luck over these final 2 months. Stay strong. Keep your head down and finish well. Taylor Widener zero. Madison Bumgarner one. Max Fried, I say three. Todd four. Jorge Lopez zero. Garrett Richards two. Zach Davies zero. Tyler Malley, I say five. Todd four. Sam Hentges zero. Zach Plesac, I say four. Todd, two. Kyle Freeland, zero. Lucas Giolito, five. Willie Peralta, I say one. Todd, zero. Lance McCullers, I say four. Todd, five. Chris Bubich, I say two. Todd, one. Jose Suarez, one. Jordan Holloway, zero. Braxton Garrett, zero. Kenta Maeda, I say 3. Todd, 4. Maybe I should bump him up to a 4, but I had a 3 on Maeda. Tyler McGill, 4. Taiwan Walker, I say 4. Todd, 3. Nestor Cortez, I say 1. Todd, 2. Garrett Cole, 5. Zach Wheeler, 5. Matt Moore, 0. Max Kranick, 0. Chad Kuhl, 1. Yusei Kikuchi, 3. Chris Flexen, 2. Anthony DeSclafani, 5. Johnny Cueto, 3. Michael Wacha, 2. Dane Dunning, 2. Jordan Lyles, I say 0. Todd, 1. Robbie Ray, I say 4. Todd, 5. Steven Matz, 2. Jeffrey Rodriguez, 0. Finally, Patrick Corbin, I say 1. Todd, 0. Anything else on your mind, Todd, before we wrap things up today?
Well, if the folks didn't have enough of my stuttering today, I'll be doing, I'm guesting on our friend Kevin Hastings' pod, the 2020 TGFBI winner, something we know a little bit about. And we're going to be reviewing the trade deadline. We're recording it Saturday night, so check my Twitter feed. Again, if you're not sick of hearing me stumble over words and get teams wrong, that's probably going to be a long pod because from what I understand, there's a lot of moves.
Yeah, I like Kevin. That was fun having him on our MLB Network radio show and kind of giving him the ceremonial green jacket. Not literal, but it was kind of fun just having
three. Yeah, so I'm glad he said he saved me. He saved me for the trade deadline. I'm now not so sure that I accepted it because it's going to be a long pod. But anyway, so check my feed once it's. I wish I don't have the name the actual feed for it. But check my Twitter, and I'm sure I will retweet it, et cetera, when it comes out.
And also more Todd on MLB Network Radio with myself tomorrow if you get a chance to join us more trade deadline talk. Otherwise, have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll catch you next time on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, sponsored by WinBet.
Try RotoWire today, free for 10 days. Get our premium tools, rankings, analysis, and breaking news alerts. No credit card required. Go to rotowire.com/try.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.